right here. I am still here. Yes, and I'm going to be here till 11 o'clock. You won't shift me, you know. Oh, no, you won't. But welcome back, as I say. Or if you've just joined me, where have you been? I mean, you know, we started at 9. Hope you brought a note if you're late. Really, you know, otherwise you'll be before the teacher. Absolutely. We've got a heartbreaker tune coming up in a tune or so's time for you at about 9:45. Oh, it's a good'un too. I'm telling yous, it's a good'un. And a reminder that Rebecca Stack is joining me from Newport. She's going to tell us about a couple of books that she has written for children, which have been published over this last couple of years during lockdown and such things. Well done her. She's managed to just, you know, find a way through there. And that is a good thing, we say. So what have I been up to since I was with you last? Well, Saturday was very, very busy day for me. Judy Fennell. Bit of Junior Walker and the All-Stars. He's a roadrunner, you know. That's what he does. So, yes, I'm glad to say that my guest Rebecca Stark has arrived. She's just getting herself comfortable. She brought some books in to show us all sorts of things. So we'll be having a chat in a little while. Yes, we will. Yes, it's a promise. It's not a threat. It's a promise, honestly. So now, about this time, every week, as you know, we do... Now, was that quality or what? I mean, True Love Ways, Buddy Holly, and seriously, I mean, if you don't know terribly much about Buddy, find out. It's easy. Yeah, very easy on the internet. You can just do it. Yeah. But a big, big star who left us far, far too early. So, True Love Ways, that's my heartbreaking slot for this morning on this Tuesday morning. And as I've been telling you, for the 7th of June, not a bad morning, really. A bit cloudy, but I'm saying that. I can see the little bit of sunshine up there now. So that's a good thing. Another good thing is that I have been joined by Rebecca Stack in my studio here. I say my studio. It's the Radio Cardiff studio. Anybody can use it if they belong to Radio Cardiff. And, you know, if you fancy your chances, why not think about becoming a member of our family? Because, you know, we are always on the lookout for people who have something to offer with regards to being presenters. I mean, if you're already a DJ, well, you know, why aren't you doing stuff with us? That's what we want to know. Anyway, let me say good morning, Rebecca. Rebecca, good morning.
Good morning, Kerry. It's lovely to meet you.
Well, it's super to meet you too. Thank you so much for coming along this morning. And you've come down from Newport. I was telling everybody that you were going to be jumping on the train. But in fact, your dear husband has done the taxi duties.
He has indeed, yes.
Did you have to give him a bit of a twist of the arm, was it? Or no?
Just a love of mild encouragement.
Mild encouragement. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? Thank you, as I say, so much for coming along. You've brought a couple of books in, which you have written over the last couple of years. So before we jump straight into those, though, let me just ask you a couple of very personal questions, because I'm like that, listeners, aren't I? You know me. I just don't care. I mean, I will ask people personal questions. But in a minute or two, give me a little rundown on what Rebecca is all about, your family, your hopes, your dreams, your aspirations, all that sort of stuff in about 60 seconds. Start now.
Gosh, that's the timer, isn't it? I just wanted to make a difference in the world, really.
Well, can't fault that.
Make children smile.
Yes.
Keep their adventurous spirit alive.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it was dampened a lot in that first lockdown, and that's when I started writing these books.
Well, truth in that, yeah.
Yeah, they started to become nervous to put themselves out there, and I just wanted to remind them that they could dream big and achieve anything that they wanted with the love and support of their family behind them.
Well, let's just talk a little bit about your family. So just tell us husband's name, first of all, because if he was good enough to drive you all the way down here, who he?
He's Martin, and
Martin.
He's lovely and very supportive.
Well, you have to say that, don't you, really? Because he's probably listening. Well done, Martin. Well done for being supportive and being a very good taxi driver. And family-wise, do we have some kids we can mention?
Yes, we've got Matthew, my son.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be 25 in August.
25?
He's a quarter of a century, which
my
makes me feel really
word.
Old in August. Obviously.
You don't look old enough to have a 25-year-old. See, I say all the right things, listeners, don't I? Right, OK. And Newport born and bred?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
You are?
But then
yeah.
there's Cassie.
Oh, there's Cassie. There's more children.
She'll be five in September.
Oh, now that's a big gap.
It's a 20-year gap.
That's a big gap. Yes.
Yeah, I unfortunately had a rare type of breast cancer at 32. And I got put on estrogen blockers because of the side
Understood.
Effects for
yes,
unborn children.
Yes. So there we are. But Cassie has come along, and I'm sure she's probably a ball of fire.
She is.
Ball of energy. Well, that's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Lovely. So, whereabouts actually in Newport are we calling home?
Dufferin. Yeah.
Very nice. Nothing wrong with that, people. Yes. Our friends in Newport, they keep an eye on us. They certainly do from places like Dufferin. Yeah. So, it was all to do with lockdown, and as you've just alluded to there, it was a difficult time for everybody, but certainly probably the truth of the matter is no more so than for kids, and particularly younger children, who absolutely had their wings clipped, didn't they, really?
Yeah, they've got a lot of love to give, especially the little ones, and they just couldn't understand why they couldn't hug and kiss people as normal, which broke my heart a bit.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to keep them smiling. So originally, I was just reading them to my daughter to make her smile.
Okay,
She does and says funny things that often give me ideas for books.
Nothing wrong with that. Because, I mean, presumably, if you have children, you're used to making up stories for them when you're telling them sort of little goodnight stories and so on, or just keeping them occupied when they're in the car. So what a great idea then to be able to think, well, maybe I could take the idea a little bit further and actually put pen to paper or fingers on computers and actually write a story for a book.
I used to read them off the pieces of paper I'd printed off from the laptop, and I used to give her the pictures I'd drawn of how I expected the characters to look.
Yes.
And she'd always say to me, will you make them into an actual book? And when I gave her the first book, she said, you've put the wrong name on it. It should say By Mummy.
Ah, bless her.
I can't sell books that say By Mummy.
Not really. Well, no, but it's a nice idea, isn't it? It's a nice idea. Well, we'll talk in a few moments' time about the books themselves. But, I mean, clearly, though, you've obviously had a lot of love and support for the idea from your family. But were there other people, and I think there probably were, who also gave you that little bit of impetus to take it to another level?
Yeah, I'm really thankful for Goldster, a platform I joined for healthy ageing and well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me the encouragement, the creative writing tutor, David Mark. He gave me the encouragement to seek the publication.
Right.
And then there was the Goldster Art Tutors who helped me, inspire me to try and write, draw my own illustrations for the books to show them what I'd like them to look like. And then there's the digital concierge team at Goldster as well, who've been absolutely amazing with recording and just being supportive. And the marketing team have done a little article on me as well for the first book as well.
Well, so there we are. So, I mean, this is just so important, isn't it, that when you're taking your first steps towards thinking about doing something on a slightly larger scale, to have that level of support. And it sounds as though you've been very fortunate that that's been forthcoming for you.
Yeah, I've had a lot of family and friends who have been my listeners as well for new ideas. And
that's important to have
to
them
me.
As sounding boards, isn't it, really?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Catherine, Mary, Laura, Beth, Stacey, a lot of my friends.
Excellent. Well, it's important that we do get all those people name checked, because then, you know, they can't say to you, you forgot me. Well, of course, you might have forgotten somebody, you never know. Well, listen, we'll carry on the conversation, Rebecca, after the news at 10 o'clock now. I'm going to get one more track of music in. It's going to be Baby Love. It's going to be Diana Ross and Those Supremes. Yes, you've got to float on. with the Floaters. Welcome back to the second hour of what I like to call my little show. It's me, Kerry Stennett, with you for a Tuesday morning. And if you're wondering what the time is, it's 8 minutes past ten. It could be important. It's the second hour, as we said, of our programme. I've been here since nine. Where have you been if you've only just joined us, eh? I don't know. It's not right, you know. Working hard for 2 hours here, people. Please do your best to be with me from nine, because I get lonely otherwise. Yeah. I shouldn't be lonely, because Rebecca Stack is with me as my guest. And we're going to be talking now, over this next sort of half hour or so, about her books that she has done. And I have in my hand here the first book, which is called Gordon the Giraffe Dreams Big. Excellent bit of illustration on the cover. A flying giraffe, which is, you know, is what you expect, isn't it, in children's books. So, Rebecca, tell us, please, what was the inspiration for the book? What were your thoughts behind it? And obviously, once again, an opportunity just to give a big thumbs up to the people who were involved with the book.
Yeah, it came to me in October 2020.
Yeah.
It was just really, like I said, I could see the lockdown affecting the children.
Yes.
And I just wanted something to help make them smile, mm-hmm. and not be scared to put themselves out there. But basically, I just thought, you know, if you want a dream and your dream seems ridiculous, you know, like a flying giraffe kind of way,
mm-hmm.
However ridiculous it might seem, if they feel in their heart that's what they're meant to do,
that it's all
then
possible,
they should follow whatever their heart
follow
is
their dreams.
Telling them. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what happens in dreams. Your heart tells you.
It's an absolutely wonderful sentiment, and it's a very positive sentiment to have for children of all ages. Well, for people of all ages too. I'm sure our listeners would agree. But yeah, a flying giraffe, a giraffe that goes off and joins the circus. What could be better, really? So did it take you long to sort of get the whole idea together? I mean, obviously, initially the writing, but then did you have a sort of an absolute start, middle and a finish of the story in your head straight away?
I literally sat at my laptop and I just let it flow out of me for, say, 5 or 6 hours that very evening.
Right, yeah.
And then obviously revisited it over the next couple of weeks to iron out.
Yeah, yes, yes.
And then when I went to Sean at Handy Jar Publishing,
yeah.
To make it a Jelly Bean book, he helped me through the process, you know, editing and proofing. And he was, you know, really great on the support And
well, certainly, Sean, as I've mentioned to our lovely listeners a little earlier, he is a tower of strength through these difficult times for authors and illustrators and people who are, you know, looking to be involved with books like this. And in fairness to him, he knows the trade, and certainly I've visited the offices in Newport Road on several occasions, and my word, the number of titles that he and his team have been able to produce is really quite remarkable, as we said, particularly in these difficult times that we've been living through over the last couple of years. So it's great to know that you had that support from Sean and the gang. And obviously, it would be remiss of me not to ask you a little bit about the wonderful illustrations by Terry Cooper.
Yeah, when Sean sent me the sample illustrations to choose from, there was two illustrators that really stood out for me, and
okay.
that was Terry Cooper and Martin Baines.
Right, yeah.
I just loved their illustrations. They were fun. And
yes, absolutely.
Made the characters, like, lovable and, like, comical and, you know, like a Disney-fy is what
yes.
Terry called it.
Well, that's very yeah. true. And we should say that Martin Baines, who you've just mentioned there, he's done the illustrations for your second book, which
yeah.
we'll talk about now in due course. So we wouldn't want our lovely listeners to think that poor Martin, great work, but we didn't use him and that was that. So, you know, tough.
No, I used him for my second.
You did use yes. him for your second book. Yeah. So you've got this lovely, lovely illustration on the cover of a giraffe wearing a cape, flying through the air with a rainbow behind him through the clouds. And what a lovely idea, because quite clearly, even children of a young age would think, well, giraffes can't fly.
No, exactly. But I wanted the rainbow on the cover because I wrote them in October 2020 in lockdown, mm-hmm. and it was all about rainbows and hope.
Well, wasn't it?
And
yeah,
my little girl Cassie says her favourite colour is rainbow.
Rainbow colour.
And I don't like to tell her that's not a colour. But
No,
her favourite colour is rainbow.
I think Rebecca, we can all agree that yes, rainbow is a colour these days. Absolutely. So yeah. So and the other nice thing as well is the fact he's wearing glasses. Because, I mean, obviously, again, myself as a kid who was wearing glasses from a relatively young age, what a great thing, you know, to see the hero of the book got glasses on.
Well, that was one thing I really wanted. When I drew him, I drew him with glasses as well, with the mm-hmm. rainbow behind him, because I think all children have a vulnerability, whether you can see it or not.
Surely.
Some people, you can't even see it, but they're all vulnerable in some way. So I thought it was important to show that even though they have vulnerabilities and I don't want to say flaws,
they've got all of that range of, as you say, fallibilities and issues that so many people have. As you say, you clearly didn't want Gordon the Giraffe to be an absolute superhero in that sense, even though he's wearing a bit of a superhero cape here with a G on it for Gordon. But yeah, absolutely. You want the children to be able to associate with him, don't you? And things like a simple thing, like just wearing glasses. So many kids have to wear glasses from a relatively early age, so it means Gordon's a little bit like one of them, isn't he?
Well, I believe that we're all hidden superheroes.
Well,
we all have it in us.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
We all have it in us if we dream big enough and if we follow our heart and be kind.
It's lovely that you've said that, because at the end of every programme, I always ask my listeners, before I say cheerio, I do always say to them, please be kind. And that is such a key message. And a lot of people may think, oh, it's a bit twee, isn't it, really? But no, it is a simple thing to say. But yeah, be kind. Now more than ever, it's really, really important. So now just tell us a little bit more then about Gordon, without giving too much of the story away, because clearly if people are going to buy the book, they don't want to know what the end is. But I mean, he's dreaming big. Fair enough. He's decided he wants to fly. He's in a zoo, but clearly there's a circus that beckons.
Yeah, he's ready to express himself and to show himself to the world. And with the encouragement and the love and support of his family, he manages to go off and do that.
Yeah.
And I might even do a second book where they go and visit him at the circus.
Well, why not?
You never know.
No. Well, why not? So Gordon is the hero of the piece, but it is important, again, that you've been able to show that yet he has the support of his family and others around him to help him achieve his dream.
That's right, yeah. I was impressed with the timing as well with the books, because I didn't plan exactly when they would come out.
Right.
And Gordon the Draft Dreams Big just happened to come out right by World Book Day.
World Book Day.
And one of my friend's children, Johan, he honoured me by going as Gordon the Giraffe to his World Book Day in school.
What a good
lad.
With
the cape and everything. He was amazing.
Fabulous.
And I was so proud of that. That was so lovely of him.
And I mean, clearly that must have given you such a boost as well, from the fact that clearly you had sorted him out straight away, and he loved it, and he wanted to be Gordon the Giraffe.
Yeah, I was so honoured and...
It's touching, isn't it?
I've obviously touched his life.
It
means a lot to me, because that's what I wanted to do, was spread some happiness
and
have some help out there for the children when they need it.
So, obviously, it's a book for young children. What sort of age range would you say you were looking to reach with it?
Well, it's from babies as well, all the way up to 6, 7. Saying that, it depends on the child, because a friend of my son's who bought the book, her 8-year-old girl loves it and wouldn't let it go. So, I mean, it depends on the child.
Absolutely.
I've had somebody, another friend, Lynn, who bought a copy for her 36-year-old Charlotte, who's got learning disabilities.
Right, yes, yes.
And hopefully she'll love it as well. She bought the Addy the Anxious Aardvark one for the worries.
Okay, yeah. So that is the truth, isn't it? That it's really, in a way, for all ages to pick up and to read to their children, to their grandchildren, to buy for those children or for friends' children. And on the back, lovely, it says, Gordon wants to fly. Yes, but how will he achieve this? Who's ever heard of a flying giraffe? And what will his parents think when he tells them? And finishes off then with the important line, a beautiful story about finding your way in the world. And as we said, we say amen to that, absolutely.
Yeah. I think it's for the adults as well, because I've had adults who have bought them.
Yeah.
I've had one lady who bought them because she loves giraffes and collects giraffes.
And why not?
And I've had, it's important to say, I've had lots of schools, people who work in schools who deal with vulnerable children looking after their well-being,
right,
who have purchased them because they know of children in the school that they would help.
Well, so. I mean, and that must be very, very gratifying for you, Rebecca. I mean, clearly you absolutely would feel you've nailed what you wanted to do then.
Yeah, I had a lovely message last night from Hath and Cymru, the marketing lady there, because they bought 5 copies of each book back in March before the second one had even been published, because I'd shown them the idea and the drawings.
Isn't that great?
And they knew what children it would help. So they're doing a piece on me now in the next couple of days. To say about how they use them to
love
help
that.
Their
love
children.
Well, there we are. Let's take a break for another piece of music. Then we'll come back and we'll talk about the other book. I'm not going to tell you what it is at the moment, but I am going to say, you've got me dangling on a string. Must be chairman of the board. Yep, we're dangling on a string with chairman of the board. And why not? No law against it, no. So, we are talking children's books here, and we have Rebecca Stack with me here in the studio. Her second book, Addy the Anxious Aardvark, is illustrated by Martin Baines, and it's another lovely, lovely, colourful book, which hopefully will really, really appeal to the kids from, as we said, knee-high to a grasshopper, older than that, up to who knows when. So, Rebecca, what are your thoughts and thinking behind book 2, Addy the Anxious Aardvark, and what's the message you're absolutely wanting to get across here?
Well, this inspiration for this book actually came to me in a meditation again with Goldster, with a yoga CBT class, yoga cognitive behavioural therapy class. I was doing a meditation in their session, and I had to write it down because it came to me while I was doing that very meditation.
Tricky then, really, to all of a sudden come up with a great idea when you're trying to meditate.
Yeah, so whenever inspiration hits, when you don't know when it's going to happen, it's best to get it written down straight away, even if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, which some of my stories have come to me.
No, absolutely true.
I tend to just jot them down really quick on like an email and then take a screenshot just in case.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did with this one. But yeah, the thoughts behind it were just, I know how anxiety has controlled my life since having the cancer at 32.
Surely.
I mean, I'm 44 now, so it's a long time away, but I've got a type of cancer that might return the further I get from it, is what the oncologist said.
Yes, yes.
So I know how anxiety can control you and cripple you and take over your life. So I just wanted to put that message out there for little children who may get nervous
at
school,
yes,
you know, SCT exams or anything they have to do which might make them nervous or anxious, you know, first days of school, first days of nursery.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything they're not used to, you know, any change in their life. I just wanted to give them ideas on how to surround themselves with friends and family, like my friends and family have been really supportive of me. And just that if they do any of these techniques that their friends introduce them to, like drawing, colouring in, singing, dancing, you know, they can alleviate their worries.
All is all good for them, yeah. So what's the basic storyline then with Addy, and what is the adventure that he goes on to sort of conquer his anxieties?
He's really anxious because he was missing his family and his friends, mm-hmm. His extended family. Because I wrote this in lockdown. I was inspired again by, you know, how much we were all missing our family and friends at that time, and how we just wanted to hug them and keep them close, you know. So he just contacts all his friends over email or text, phone, and they just give him ideas such as yoga and Tai Chi and drawing and any type of exercise, yes. Or just writing the thoughts down, you know. Just ideas that their friends just all come together for him.
And have you sort of consulted with so-called experts on any of these sort of thoughts that you've had that you've wanted to put into print to be certain that, yes, this is the way to go? Or is it very much feeling that, well, these are in a way sort of common sense ideas, but maybe they're things that are so simple and straightforward that maybe people overlook them?
Well, with regards to the yoga and Tai Chi, they are methods I've tried myself over the years, mm-hmm. That have really, really helped me, that they like center you and they quieten your mind, and meditation as well.
Of
it
course.
All quietens your mind and gives you back your focus and your control of your life.
Right.
And like I've been parts of societies like Tai Chi Evolutions, and I've been doing Tai Chi on the Ghost platform as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing, you know, to what a difference it can make to your daily struggles that you may have going on underneath the surface.
Understood. You know? So what we should also do whilst we think of it, if people obviously are keen to find out more about the two books and yourself in general and the work that you're doing, we ought to sort of point people in the right direction of your website and some of the other social media platforms that you have. So Rebecca, perhaps you'd be kind enough just to let us know where people can find out more.
I've got a blog website that I set up back in January, and that's www.rebeccastackauthor.co.uk. And that's just really a blog website which directs you to other places to buy the book.
Yes.
Because it was more complicated than I thought to set up the
such is life.
Delivery addresses.
Such is life.
So, the books are available on Candy Jar Books,
yes.
Jelly Bean store, free web store on there,
mm-hmm.
And they're also both available on Amazon.
Yes.
But on Facebook I set up a public page called Rebecca Stack Author, which is public to anybody,
okay,
who can like it and then follow it, and then I've got a private group on there as well.
Excellent.
Which is called Rebecca Stack Children's Author.
Right.
And that's, you can request to join that.
Okay.
And obviously I put on there all the information about where my stalls are going to be and where my interviews are going to be.
Sure, so you're getting out and about and meeting the public. So we should just give people a quick spelling check, because it's Rebecca, R-E-B-E-C-C-A, and then Stack, S-T-A-C-K. So there we are. So there's no excuse for people not to be able to find you. You're getting out and about, as you say, sort of meeting people and having stalls at what different sort of festivals, or whether it's food festivals or craft festivals and all that sort of stuff, I guess.
Yeah, I my first stall I did was for a Half and Cymru event.
Yes.
I was invited along there, and then I did a reading with them on a parents and toddlers group. And a signing.
Mm-hmm.
And then my second stall was at Pontypridd Book Festival.
Ah, yes, good old Ponty.
That was lovely. That was brilliant. I had a lot of interest in the books, and I sold between 6 and 8 of them.
Great, yeah. I mean, getting the word out as well is important, isn't it? And obviously coming along, seeing people like me. Hey.
And my latest stall was for the Jubilee at Marshfield.
Oh, lovely. Brilliant.
The support I've had has been amazing.
Sounds
I've got to mention
excellent.
In Soul Court as well.
In Soul Court,
they do yoga and Tai Chi at their premises.
Yes.
And they purchased 3 of each book before that one had been published as well.
A good start. Well, there we are. We're going to take a break for the news now at 10:30. And then we'll do one final little chat with Rebecca before we let her go. But let's get the local news again. It's 10:30. But we're just going to say a last little chat before we see say cheerio with Rebecca. Rebecca, what are the thoughts now then for the future? You've brought in a lovely album here, I can see, of drawings and illustrations that you've been doing. So presumably this means that you're thinking very, very carefully about book number three.
I have written a few more stories, and every time I do a stall, like I did at Pontypridd Book Festival, I put the illustrations all out on the table next to the books themselves. And I had two little ones who were interested in my Shall Party story for Cassie Crabb and Matthew Mussel, based on my children, obviously.
Yes.
But the little baby was called Cassie, so they were interested in me doing that one next. But then there was another little child who was interested in my Ollie Ostrich book.
Ollie Ostrich.
Because he liked Simon Sloth, one of the creatures in there.
Simon Sloth.
He's all about sloths.
Yes.
And excited about them, and so was his sister. So they asked me to do that one next, so it's a bit of a... I don't know which way to go at the moment. I said to them both, I'll look at them next then.
Right, right.
It's whether... I've got other ones, you know, called Benji the Bally Dancing Bunny. I've written a four-part series called Benny the Bunny Detective.
Written
its own theme tune.
Yes.
That was performed for me by Patricia and Matt Redman, Patricia Hammond and Matt Redman on the Goldster platform.
Wow.
And it was recorded by Ben, the lovely digital concierge for me.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, they sang my Benny the Bunny Detective tune.
So clearly there's plenty of ideas, plenty more to come, and as long as Sean at Candy Jar and Jelly Bean Publishing, as long as he thinks, yes, these are good, we need them there, there's a chance that your adoring public will see more in due course then.
Hopefully.
Oh, be positive now, woman. Be positive. Rebecca, it's been great fun having you here in the studio to have a chat today. And I thank you for coming down all the way from Newport. Thanks to your hubby as well for bringing you down. And I know he's still out there in the car waiting for you. Just, if you will, just give us the details of your website once again.
It's www.rebeccastackauthor.co.uk.
Right.
And on Facebook, there's Rebecca Stack Author public page and Rebecca Stack Children's Author group that you can join. There's about 85 members at the moment.
Lovely, lovely. So
I just wanted to mention, sorry, really quickly.
Yeah.
Sarah Wood, my editor, an editor from South Wales Argus, a friend of mine.
Right.
She went above and beyond for me. She actually sent someone, Elizabeth Burt, one of the reporters, to film me at the World Book Day reading. And
excellent.
Streamed it to Facebook Live for me when I was reading to my Cassie's nursery. And so I want to thank her and them as well.
That's fabulous.
And I think I just wanted to mention as well that it wasn't planned, but Addie the Anxious Aardvark came out just in time for Mental Health Awareness Week.
Oh, well, it was meant to be. It was meant to be indeed, Rebecca. So we've got Gordon the Giraffe, Dreams Big. We've got Addie the Anxious Aardvark, both written by Rebecca Stack, published, as we said, by Candy Jar and Jelly Bean Publishing. Certainly well worth having a look at. If you've got a couple of little ones that you're looking for books for, we would thoroughly recommend them. Well, we would, wouldn't we, people? We would. But thank you so much, Rebecca, as I say, for coming in today. Please come and see us again in the future when you've got some news on some more titles. And clearly, all the luck in the world with pushing on with these and getting that word out to children. You know, dream big and, you know, be what you are and be kind.
Stay true to yourselves.
Stay true. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you ever so much, and thank you for having me.
Pleasure.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
There we
good
are.
To meet you.
Thank there you. We are. Good, super stuff. So there we are. That is Rebecca Stack. Yes, it is. And yes, she was, and yes, she still will be. We have enjoyed our little chat. Good little books they are too. So what we need to do is give you another tune from our mystery year. Let me give you a few more facts yet. I'll tell you what, let me throw you some facts. 6th of June, the first broadcast.